all the identification we're going to do. It's all the identifying we need today. Why, hello. You're listening to KCMG AM Portland, Oregon. Hey, by the way, just in case you were curious, I don't know if the whole thing played or not.
It didn't.
It just seems like the show is starting earlier every single day now. It's like we used to come in and there's so I guess it helps to do, or hurts, I guess is the case, maybe that there's no clock in here. I'm not really complaining about that. All I got here is the little windows. I just got the little, and this is not another daylight savings time rant, you bunch of bastards. I'm just saying all I have here is the little clock in the corner of the window, like everybody, you know, just like the Windows clock, which is never accurate. You never trust that thing anyway. No, that clock never means anything. Why is it 2000 and goddamn 7, men on the moon can't make a clock that works correctly? And I'm not just talking about on the computer. I'm talking like the clock in my car. How hard is it to make a clock that's just accurate? I mean, haven't we been telling time for like 9 million years now? When did we start telling time? Somebody, go.
We've always told time.
But when did we tell time that didn't involve, like, a spirit god? I mean, when did we, like, you know what I mean? Like,
when was the watch invented?
Well, not just a watch, but a thing that told time.
Scotty, back to the days of the sundial.
Well, see, but here's the really frightening thing. Scotty is now typing on the screen, Romans and a sundial. And the really terrifying part is, I don't know if that's accurate or not. We've now.
Well, the Romans started just about everything.
The Romans should just get credit for everything on Earth, like Howard Stern. We'll just give them credit for everything.
First wristwatch came out in 1504.
Well, that's not true.
It was invented in Germany by Peter Heinlein. Would you like more in the history of clocks and watches?
The first wristwatch?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 1504.
What would you have powered it with?
You wound it.
Oh, yeah.
You wound watches until just a few years ago.
I forgot all about that.
Remember winding a watch? Winding a clock?
I can't believe I just said that's impossible. With no batteries. You lie, Tim Riley. Okay. Let's just forget this whole unfortunate conversation took place. I still don't know if the Romans...
Well, that was education.
Did the Romans invent the sundial?
Scotty?
Bam! Well done. All right, there you go. A little alley-oop. Now he's upgrading this. He's downgrading it to perhaps. All right, thanks for that. I've got a relatively new automobile. I've got a new jalopy that I drive around in.
The Egyptians in 1500 B.C.
Yeah, in your face, Scotty.
How would they know that exactly?
You don't know so much. They just, I don't know. How did the Egyptians, could have been lying. Mm-hmm. What if the Egyptians just left a note saying, invented time machine? Forgot where it is, but we created it. Like, how would we be able to disprove that? I think we find a lot of stuff laying around and we ascribe some sort of really advanced or mystical properties to it. And really, it was just like a pile of bricks. You know what I mean? Like Stonehenge. Like Stonehenge was probably just some stuff that, like, I don't know, that they were, like, going to build a house with it or a thing on which to sacrifice virgins. And they didn't have anywhere to put it. And so they just left it. Like, well, let's put it here. Let's not forget where this is. Let's just leave these stones. Now, don't forget where these stones are. We're going to come back for these later. After we've built that second master bathroom, we're going to come back and we're going to get these rocks. And everybody remember where we're parked. And then, and then they walked like 15 miles away, and that was like 7 million miles in those days. And they had no idea where the stones were. We find them. Aha! They're a source of magic from the sun. Just some crap that was sitting there. Anyway, I don't know who invented the sundial. We're not going to talk about it.
Egyptians.
You don't know that.
That's what it says.
All right. In any event,
it's and they've been around for a long time.
You know what weirds me out is my final watch comment, except to say this, that it is 2007. Why can't the clock in my car just work correctly? How hard is it?
Why does it not?
Because it loses like a minute every couple of days. You know what I mean? So like right now, according to my watch, now that my wristwatch from Fossil is pretty accurate. It's like 11:04. In my car though, right now, if you were to look at the clock in my car, it would say like 10:58. It's about 6 minutes off. I have to set it about once a week. It just doesn't make any sense. Why?
Okay, that isn't something where you should be frustrated with clocks in general. It sounds like you have a crappy clock in your car.
I'm saying we have laser heart surgery. How hard is it to make a clock that just works? Same thing with your computer. You know, your computer clock at home is inaccurate. I'll bet you dollars to donuts, sir. You go to your home right now, you walk and look at your computer, it's off. Wrong.
I also have a clock right next to my computer, so I never really use the computer clock.
I'm just saying, it seems like we ought to be at the point where building a clock that just functions properly and does what it's supposed to do shouldn't be like an engineering challenge. That's the end of my observation of my rant about clocks. That's the end. The end. We're done. Except for this final little follow-up, this coda, one might say. Which is to say this. Am I the only one who's confused by the concept of a self-winding watch? What the hell does that mean? It's a self-winding watch. How does the watch wind itself? If the watch winds itself, does the watch have some sort of self-awareness? Does the watch go hunt Sarah Connor after it winds itself? It's all very mystifying. It seems like you're either winding the watch or there's a battery. If the watch is winding itself, what else is the watch capable of doing? The whole thing is just...
I don't care as long as it keeps accurate time.
They ought to make one that just functions off the electricity in your skin. I'd buy that for a dollar. All right, well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. Do you remember when we thought that this extra hour of the show was going to get rid of all the randomness and it wasn't going to happen anymore?
Yes.
That didn't happen. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In case you're wondering how you're listening to. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It is, according to the sort of haphazardly accurate clock on my computer, 5 minutes after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you. Did you guys have to say that in school? In the year of our Lord? You all were Catholic.
I think so.
I don't remember very much.
I don't think so.
Blocked it all out. We had to say it every single morning. The year of our Lord. And then we had, at the top of all of our test papers, we had to write JMJ, which stood for Jesus, Mary, Joseph. I don't know why.
Weird.
I don't know. It was like a rule. It was a school rule. Every time you turned in a paper, you had to write JMJ at the top. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. It's all very strange. Anyway, it is March, blah, 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 2007. Thank you for coming by. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. If you'd like to be part of our program today, telephonically speaking, it's telephone. That's another thing.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
Do
we need to start the whole show off on negativity?
It's not negative. No, what I was going to say is the telephone's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, really, I don't think people stop to appreciate. I know it sounds like I'm high. You'll just have to take my word for it when I tell you that I'm not. I swear to God. And I guess that's the more frightening thing, is that I'm like this when I'm just stone cold sober. The telephone really is amazing. What do you think about it? You can just pick up a box and just talk into it, and your voice just comes out in like Auckland. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. Some guy in Brixton picks up the phone. There you are. Can't make a clock that tells the correct time, but you can magically transmit my voice like through the air. What? And I'm just saying.
Is this a conversation about the amazement of a telephone?
The telephone is amazing. What do you think about it? I'm not high. I'm high on life, perhaps. I'm simply saying the telephone is an amazing device. I do not
disagree.
Believe.
I'm sure that was established like in the early 1900s.
Let's talk about the sun.
Or the moon.
The telephone is pretty cool when you think about it. I don't think enough people take time to think about those things. Look,
how does that thing keep time?
Sons of bitches. I get accused of being negative all the time in this program. Yesterday, a bunch of people unloading on me on my MySpace blog about, Rick is so relentlessly negative. I'm trying to be positive, and you're raining on my parade. I'm trying to be bullish on something. The telephone is amazing. Why you gotta hate?
The telephone is amazing.
Why do you hate the telephone and America, Sarah Dillon? All right, the telephone is amazing. I'm going to quit making that observation now, though.
How do you feel about toothpaste?
I'm just saying.
I'm cutting.
503-73, don't get me started on toothpaste today. It's the wrong day, and I know that you didn't think that I would trigger anything, but it's the wrong day to get me started on toothpaste. It's 503-7. Who wants to hear me get started on toothpaste? Okay, not it. 503.
I want to hear more about the amazement of the telephone.
I'm not going to share any of my thoughts with you ever again. I'm not going to say anything ever again.
That'll teach us.
And a nation breathes a hearty sigh of relief. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to use the amazing, fantastic device which we debase every day by not thinking about it, the telephone is 503-733-2970 with your comments, clarifications, your confessions, your 2 cents, or what have you. If you'd like to email, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Or you can disparage me on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/rickemerson. It's 503-733-2970. All right, we got calls coming in about... When are people calling about this early in the program? Oh, really? Varsity Blues? Okay, that's pretty great.
Oh, did somebody find the sounder finally? Unless
we can only hope.
Oh.
We can only hope.
I don't feel no way tired.
I don't want your life. I said that.
I don't want your life.
But no, but it's the pause that he does. It's the wooden delivery that only James Van Der Beek, who really can't act, is the wooden delivery, and then there's a real important pause in there. There's a beat that he can arrest in Varsity Blues, and this is where it is. It's the dun 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 beat. Dun, dun. So he goes, I don't want your life.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly. I know that it makes me sound like I'm crazy, that I was just doing this to myself and giggling last night, but man, I was saying that
James
Vanderbeek.
I know you love that movie.
I don't. Well, I do. It's
you
terrible.
Do.
It's
Come
terrible.
On, you've admitted it before.
I do, but I love it the way
I
that you love.
I don't want your life.
In West Texas, football is a religion.
That's so bad.
No, it's a terrible film. I love that movie the way that I love Pacific Blue. That's all I'm saying. I don't love it the way you love NYPD.
Or like the way you love Showgirls?
Yeah, it's the same. It's a big wedge of dumb entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love it ironically, because that would be like it's so bad, it's good. It's not even really that. It's not even the Varsity Blues are so bad, it's good. It's just bad, but entertaining. That's the thing. It's not like a Mystery Science Theater thing where you watch it and you're like, hey, look, you can see the zipper on the monster's back. It's not that. It's an entertaining film, but I recognize that it's bad. I recognize that it's terrible. That's my only thing. Like that movie, have you ever seen Airheads with Adam Sandler?
Oh, yeah.
That's another one. A terrible film. It's awful, but it's so great. I've seen it like 100 times. In any event. Well, here's what we got today, and then we'll get these calls. So forth. Today, in a stunning social experiment that continues to unfold, another exciting installment of the Rick Emerson Show raises your child. Susan Reynolds. And this really is a great idea. I like the fact that the Rick Emerson Show has now been given carte blanche to raise the soon-to-be teenage offspring of CBS Radio Portland marketing guru Susan Reynolds. She sent me another, and this was just a question for you, Sarah,
yes,
about her daughter. But I think we'll give it to the whole audience, too. And we'll see what they have to say about it. So Susan Reynolds has a question about raising her child, and we'll have the audience vote, and then we'll tell Susan to raise her daughter exactly that way, according to the whim of this crazed audience. And we'll see how that girl turns out. So we got that. What else? Lisa Goddard is going to join us. Apparently, Scooter Libby, something's happened to him. Steve Kastenbaum is going to join us, and Jim Roop. And by the way, I hold here in my hand, courtesy of who gave this to me? This is... I can't unfold this piece of paper because I've got a palsy. This is from Michael in Seaside, who claims he found what he claims to be the movie that stars, well, not that stars, that features CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop as the reporter. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but we're going to ask Jim Roop today if this movie, Freeway, and this is the tagline, there's a killer on the road and on the radio, starring Richard Belzer. And Billy Drago from the producers of Highlander. So we'll ask Jim Rupert if that's him. What else do we have here? Oh, we have the creepiest story ever. And really, this story is goddamn creepy. Do we have any nursery music? Like lullaby, music box music? We got to find some. Scotty?
How about the monkey watch?
No, but I mean, it's got to be like one of those, you know, dun, 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 you know, like one of those music box kind of. Scotty, try to find me some music box music. Music box dancer, I suppose, would work in a pinch, but I don't want to use that. Creepiest story ever, and a great corpse watch. That's all coming up today. 503-733-2970. We'll have speaks with our good friend Dennis Pissenbarger later on, who's on some tirade about My Name is Earl today, and El Camino's, and something or other. Something about cars on television. So anyway, so he's going to talk about that. Our good friend Davey Neeples will be paying us a visit as well. And we'll talk to Scotty J about something or other at some point. Let's get these calls before we do anything else. Porter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Vic.
Porter.
Can you hear me? I'm calling you from the video pool city of Las Vegas. I have some random and ultimately pointless information about Varsity Blues.
Okay, please not to be sharing it.
Do you know who directed Varsity Blues?
I did, but now I've forgotten it.
Brian Robbins.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Eric from Head of the Class.
Is that true, really?
Really? And that's the best film he's directed. I'll tell you a couple of his films.
He peaked with Varsity Blues.
He directed Good Burger. Ready to Rumble.
I don't even know what Ready to Rumble is.
It's a wrestling movie with David Arquette.
That's okay. I was going to say, as soon as I said I didn't know what it was, I do know what it was. I never saw it, but yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
In Norbit with Eddie Murphy.
Now, let's talk Norbit, shall we? Let me just pull up a chair. What?
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay, let's talk Norbit. First of all, you're in Vegas?
Yeah.
Do you listen to the show in Vegas?
Apparently through some tubes. There's some sort of odd thingy that you don't know about.
Through the interwebs.
Yeah, the series of tubes. All right. Podcast every day. It doesn't exist.
It's a tube full of entertainment that Rick Emerson
gives. It's probably just my imagination. It doesn't really happen. Okay. CBS doesn't know about it.
Have you seen Norbit?
No, but I've heard it's the worst film ever made.
I know, but I kind of want to go see it because of that. Like, it seems so bad that I kind of want to go see it.
I read a review about it in Las Vegas Weekly, and no. Maybe when it comes to DVD.
Do you own Varsity Blues, sir?
I do not. I've seen clips from it. Taking off the T-shirt in the cab of the truck.
Yeah,
the girl. That's all you really need to see about Varsity Blues.
That and the obligatory scene where the fat kid is drunk and he's like talking about his dad. There's always a scene in movies like that where somebody's drunk talking about how their dad doesn't understand them. Yeah.
But tying it all together, Brian Robbins is a producer on the film Wild Hogs. God is my witness.
Really?
He's a producer.
So he's sort of the Forrest Gump of bad films.
Yeah, he went out there and started making bad films. And Clyde will be interested to know that Brian Robbins was born November 22nd, 1963. November 22nd, 1963.
I don't think 22 means anything.
That's JFK's assassination date.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, Clyde Owen 23, that's like a neighbor of the beast kind of a thing.
Well, Clyde, every good conspiracy theorist with a tinfoil hat. No, that's the day.
The day, all right.
The big day.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, bye.
All right, there you go. All right, fantastic.
Norbit looks so bad. It has like a 5% fresh rating or something on Rotten Tomatoes. It looks so bad that I kind of want to see it. I mean, how could a movie, and Eddie Murphy's on kind of a comeback. How could that movie possibly be that bad? All right. Two more quickly. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Jeff.
There are three mechanisms currently used in watches.
Mm-hmm.
First one is the wind-up, which is the least expensive.
Uh-huh.
The second is the self-winding, which seems to baffle you, but it's real simple. There's a pendulum inside the watch that as you move your arm in the course of doing your life, it winds your watch.
The kinetic motion of my body.
That is correct.
All right, okay.
And then the last, of course, being the electronic or quartz movement, being the least expensive to manufacture.
All right.
And
so,
therefore the most available.
Is that the one that's in my car that is incapable of keeping correct time?
No, the one in your car, and I hate that too, because it has to do with how well your electrical system in your car is put together and maintained, how old the car is and whatnot. It has to do with how often you drive it. It's just kind of a baseline approximate thing.
It's sort of a hunch.
Yeah, it's more of a, okay, it might be a kind of thing.
It's around 10 after.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just sort of a guiding sort of suggestion as to what time it might be.
Yeah, and the clock on the computer is probably the most accurate if you have it correctly configured, because it goes out and resets to the atomic clock that the government runs.
I don't think that's true.
Observatory.
I think you're making that up.
No, I'm not, because if you go in and you right-click on the clock down on the taskbar, you can go into adjust date time and set internet time, and there's a little box here where to have your time server synchronized.
Okay. God bless you, sir. I appreciate you for sharing that with us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, there you go. That's fantastic. See? You learn things. People are smarter already, having listened to this show. I'm going to put off taking another watch call for just a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah H. Dillon. How are you doing?
Good.
Listen to how much content we've packed into. You know, you listen to other shows, Lars, and you go all day. You don't get this much content. You've already learned about Varsity Blues. You've already learned about the self-winding watch. And you learned who invented the sundial. Stuck on that, huh? Everybody, listen to how much. Listen to your brain is already like 10% bigger than it was at the beginning of the show. That's what I'm saying. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You give me a weird look.
You sound kind of crazy today.
I'm not crazy today. Am I the only one who finds science and technology to be interesting and compelling?
Sesame Street for adults.
That's exactly. See, Jeff McGinley's raising his hand. I find the pursuit of knowledge to be. See, the journey is the destination.
You consider learning more information about Varsity Blues knowledge?
I didn't say it was particularly useful to anybody but me. I don't want your life. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. Will Scooter Libby be scooted up to prison after taking the fall for his boss? Speaking of that, will Dick Cheney's blood clot force him to step down? Will Ann Coulter lose any more advertisers on her website?
Bam.
How will a drill sergeant be punished for allegedly forcing a recruit to dress up like Superman and submit to 6 sexual acts?
I can't wait to find out.
Details coming up.
One more. Joe, hello, sir. Joe. Going once. Okay.
No, I'm not even going to give you twice.
Going once. There you go. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You're not going to harsh my mellow today, Sarah Dillon. It's a fantastic day.
I'm not trying to harsh. Oh, no, I can't even repeat that back to you.
What?
Harsh your mellow.
I'm just saying I'm feeling fine, and that's how things are going to stay.
So what happened with the toothpaste?
Oh, you don't... what time is it? 20 after...
But I am really proud of you. I hear you rode your bicycle.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
And you were preemptively... Sarah, you were preemptively snippy, to stop myself from saying something else. You were preemptively snippy about it this morning when I came in.
No, I was just getting ready to make fun of you again.
This is what happened this morning. I'm sitting here and I'm working on things. Sarah goes, so what's your excuse for not bicycling today, Mr. Man? And like cocks her head at me like the RCA dog. And as though I'm just, and I said, in your face, Sherrod, you are, I did bicycle.
Even though I haven't seen the bicycle. You claim that it's in another room.
It's like 10 feet away. I have no motive to lie. I have every motive to lie, actually, but I'm not lying. I put it in court's office. I don't want this room to look trashy with numerous bicycles, so I just put it on court's desk. That guy didn't come until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon anyway. So I put it down there. Boy, goddamn, it just sucked today though. I mean, it's not that it wasn't a nice day. It was a great view in, and you know, I'm not going to go on and on about this, except just to say that Portland's a beautiful city. We all know this. I don't know about you. Everybody bicycles a different path, I guess. You know, when bicycling, as in life, we all take different paths. I'm just going to say that I go past OMSI in the morning down, you know, by the, that's not the Esplanade.
Oh,
it's the Esplanade on the other side. But it's opposite the Esplanade. Boy, that is just so beautiful. And you know what's especially beautiful? Is when you were biking back home, you're going from downtown to southeast, and you go back past OMSI, and you look back, and the cityscape is all lit up, the skyline. Just to be Portland is just so beautiful. It's just the best look. It's such a gorgeous city. But the actual bicycle ride was ass. It was the suck, because it was, I just felt like someone was kicking me in the spine the whole time. Because I, except for that one, the time that I bicycled like 3 weeks ago, I haven't biked in like 5 months. And so I can just, like, every muscle. And as much as it sucks now, it's going to hurt even more tomorrow morning. It was not fun at all. And I always forget how long it takes to get ready. You know, because you got to pack all your crap into bags and you got to do whatever. I'm not complaining about it as such. It's the best thing. So anyway, but I did bicycle today. So that's, I'm feeling fine about that. So it's going to be a good day. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. A couple other things we're going to try to get to today. We're not going to be hearing from Mailman Chris anymore. I don't believe we're going to be hearing from him. He believes it's better to perhaps stay underneath the radar, given his job and the foreseeable future and so forth. And so, I got somebody who's weighed in on maybe how we can sort of get around that. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. What else? Well, that's it. And we got this creepy story to get to, and we got the Lisa Goddard and so forth. And one more, and then we'll break. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Rick, you got to see Ready to Rumble, because if for no other reason, it shows you a way to get yourself a free slushy.
When you say a slushy, you mean a slurpee?
Slurpee, slushy, whatever you want to call it.
Well, no, because now we got to be very careful. Now, this is because a slurpee, I believe, is a 7-Eleven only product.
Yeah, no, any type of slushy type.
Any type of soft
drink.
Any type of drinkable snow cone type beverage.
It probably works for any snow cone, soda pop, anything like that.
How is it? Now, can you briefly describe the method for getting a free Slurpee here, or is it a thing that the movie really, you have to see the movie to learn it?
Well, I could tell you, but if you've seen it, it's much better, descripted that way.
So. You should know that Scotty is typing on the screen now that he has seen Ready to Rumble 5 times.
Okay, so he knows all about it.
Yes, he does. All right.
If it's something suitable for the air, then he could probably tell you.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll put it on my Netflix queue, sir.
And, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, there you go. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. I swear to God, we had other stuff. Toothpaste. You don't really want to know about toothpaste. You were just saying that to...
No, because I know that it's already something that's been brought up, and you're going to talk about it at some point in the show, so why don't you just finish talking about it now?
Well, I don't... It's like 23.
It's okay, then you can just squeeze it into a couple minutes.
I'm just going to say this about toothpaste. This is the... Now, I don't know what kind of toothpaste... First of all, I find this to be a relatable topic. And so anybody who doesn't like this can pound sand. I find this to be a relatable topic. Everybody has teeth. I mean, most people. Not so much in Gresham, but most other people have teeth. Everybody brushes their teeth. Tim probably brushes his teeth 5 times a day.
I have a Sonicare. I only go twice.
Oh, the Sonicare. How much...
There's another topic.
How much ass does that Sonicare kick? Have you
it
seen that?
It kicks ass.
Have you... That was the
least, well, you ask.
That was the least believable kick ass ever. Have you seen that new toothbrush that plays rock and roll all night when you put it in your mouth? It's so embarrassing. So terrible.
Did you buy it?
No, Laura's going to buy it for me, though. She's like, I'm going to buy one as soon as I find it. She knows that I love all of that Kiss merchandise at the same time that I hate it. Like, I have that. Somebody gave me the Kiss rubber duck set. So it's like 4 rubber ducks that are dressed up like Kiss. It's just the worst thing ever. They're called Tooth Tunes. And, like, you put them in your mouth, and the gimmick is that it plays a song for exactly 2 minutes so you know how long you've brushed. That's the great thing about the Sonicare. The Sonicare lets you time out your toothbrushing. You got to use a gel with the Sonicare, though. You can't use, like, a non-gel toothbrush, toothpaste. I'm just going to say this. Are you all attached to a particular brand of toothpaste?
Not really. I like Aquafresh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that because of, like, a childhood thing?
Yeah, because I had one when I was younger, or else, like, Colgate.
All right. See, now, I just, typically, in my life, I have just purchased whatever's cheapest. Because I operate under the assumption that all toothpaste, like all shampoos, are basically the same. Tim, particular toothpaste?
Always Colgate for me.
Always, really?
Yeah.
This invisible shield with XK10 protects teeth. Fantastic.
Brand loyalty.
People get attached to things like that. See, and I am a Tom's of Maine man.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Well, but there's like 50.
So gritty.
There's 50 different kinds.
Made out of pine trees.
It doesn't feel like it's cleaning.
Well, but I believe it's actually cleaning a little bit more.
No, but you seem to be cleaning a little bit more. It feels like your enamel's being scraped off.
Well, but your enamel, but the enamel can take it, though. Your enamel's the hardest substance in your body. Enamel is good. See, because when I was a kid, I actually used to just brush... with baking soda and salt. I would do that thing where I would just mix baking soda and salt into a bowl, and that's what I would brush with when I was a kid. Because Mr. Wizard one time demonstrated. Does Mr. Wizard, he's dead a long time, isn't he?
So what happened with toothpaste this morning?
Thank you. Way to keep me on track. So I used to use this baking soda, and so the Tom's of Maine has a baking soda mix that I use because I feel that it makes my teeth whiter than white. So I go to use this, the toothpaste, and I like squeeze it under the thing, and I'm brushing my teeth, and it's like I'm brushing my teeth with a bouquet of flowers for some reason. Like, it doesn't have the normal minty taste, and it's like I'm brushing my teeth with like lavender or licorice or something. And I look down, and the toothpaste is purple, and I'm like, well, what? But it has the Tom's of Maine logo, and I'm like half asleep, and so I look at the toothpaste. And Laura has bought this weird... She's bought this weird hippie toothpaste. I mean, Tom's of Maine is kind of a hippie toothpaste to begin with. But she's bought this insane hippie toothpaste. And the big selling point of it... Who can guess what the insane selling point of the toothpaste is?
All natural.
No fluoride. And this is not, by the way, just... Put your phone back in the cradle. This is not a cue for the anti-fluoride brigade to call up and start screeching about how it's like a
communism.
Plot. Yes, a plot to give you like tentacles and a third eye. So just save it. Save it. Call Art Bell. Call Clyde, for that matter. But the big selling point of this toothpaste is it doesn't contain any of that pesky fluoride that keeps your teeth from rotting. So I guess if you want that hint of Spokane in your mouth, buy the Tom's of Maine lavender tooth. I swear to God, it's lavender scented tooth. Why would you want to brush your teeth with something that tastes like lavender?
That's the thing, like they have those orange toothpaste and everything. I have to have a minty toothpaste. It feels wrong if I'm brushing my teeth with something that's orange flavored.
I have to have either mint or, again, no flavor at all. Like, again, I will occasionally use baking soda and salt because it is the best thing to whiten your teeth. So, anyway, so there
that's
you go. So
that's really gross. That's a gross way to start your day.
It's disgusting.
You're trying to get all refreshed and then you have a bunch of mushy lavender
stuff. It tastes like flowers. It tastes like you have taken flowers and like...
It's like one of those hanging green pine deodorant things you put in your car.
Totally.
You can brush your teeth with that.
It is exactly like that. It's like you've just taken it and just bitten off the top of a bouquet and chewed it for a while and spat. And of course, at the end, your teeth don't feel clean at all. Your teeth just, you know what your teeth feel like? Your teeth feel like this one time when I was a kid, and I wanted to see if I could just brush my teeth with Ivory soap. And so I was like 5, and so I just took the toothbrush and like rubbed it on top of a bar of soap and just... Have you ever tried to get Ivory soap off your teeth? That takes like a day.
No.
No one has, just me. All right, we should break now. We'll come back, see, wasn't that relatable? Toothpaste. Everybody's got some. Back after this. It's a Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. So let's say radio. I haven't checked. It's part of the new healthy me.
Oh, because you ride your bike one day?
Yeah. I haven't, no, I, to be honest, I haven't, I've managed to forget about that check mix. I will say this, that there's, they sell the big bag of that across the street at the Flat Panther that I have used willpower and I didn't buy it.
I saw that I was going to buy it for you one day.
No,
and now I will, because if you're exercising, I want you to.
Thank you. I want to make sure that my exercising does me no good at all.
Exactly.
Make sure it's a wash. Thanks for that. That's love. Court, actually, we've got Court from KUFO eating that chocolate Chex Mix as well. And I think he got Becca in promotions eating it. So the good news is, hopefully, that in an ideal world, that Chex Mix would be entirely gone by the time I came into work every day. So she's not even around to tell me, because I have no willpower. That's not going to happen. So I just have to make sure that stuff's not even around. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we have this guy calling about toothpaste, but that's going to have to wait. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
I'm dandy. It's a whole lot of... Can I ask you what kind of toothpaste you use?
You know, we just changed. It's some sort of baking... like maybe Arm & Hammer baking soda, special super minty, extreme something.
What, was it made in Japan? That's full on one of those Happy Smile Time family fun wish... tooth clean product, Happy Smile. No, that's... I was just talking about when I was a kid, actually. And even now, I do the occasional thing. Well, I have the, like, little dish of baking soda and salt. Because I saw on the Mr. Wizard show once when I was a kid, he was demonstrating how that'll make your teeth whiter than white, as they used to say. So, all right. Well, in any event, do they sell Tom's of Maine toothpaste where you live?
Oh, you know, in specific places. You've got to know the stores that have it. There's a couple of stores where I've seen it.
I'm just saying, you got to keep an eye out, because there's this hideous lavender Tom's of Maine toothpaste that's out there that you don't want. It's like eating a mouthful of begonias. It's no good. Stay away from that.
You know, lavender has really got some good PR. I don't know what's up with that, but I really do not enjoy the smell of lavender.
Lavender I find to be really off-putting. Here's another question while we're on the subject of this, and I know you're short on time, but lavender, okay, lavender's a flower, right?
Yes, yes.
Lavender's a flower, and then people talk about patchouli oil, and of course we're lousy with hippies here. And is patchouli, what is patchouli? Is that a plant? What is patchouli?
I don't know. It's got to be some kind of herb. I don't know.
It's weird that we all kind of know what it is, right? It's one of those, we come
across... those things we know the smell, but yeah, I have no idea what it is.
We come across more of these things on the show where it's like, where it's stuff that you just never stop to ask yourself. I guess possibly because...
But then it seems like every audience member knows the answer except for us.
I think it's because we are dumb. I think it's because we exist in some sort of intelligence vortex. Well, in any event,
so over the week is how did they called Germany and Germany Deutschland? What? How the heck did we come up with Germany?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That actually, I think about that a lot. It's funny that you mention that because I think about that a lot. That, like, why don't we just call it what they like? The name of the country is Deutschland. Why don't we, like? Why wasn't that good enough for us?
Right.
It makes no sense that we would have to have a separate name for their country, like in English. Like, it doesn't... It seems like the name of the country is the name of the country.
Right, right.
Makes no sense at all. And, I mean, did somebody just decide that everything has to have another name for it? Like Spain, which is España. Like, why can't you just call it España? Why does it have to be Spain?
Right, well, and at least that one's a little closer. I feel like... Who's Germany? What's up with that?
Germany and Deutschland. You're right. There's really no two versions of the same word that could be further apart than that.
I don't think they have any of the same consonants.
It's a mystery.
The N. That's all they've got.
This is why I'm telling Jim Roop, this is why I need a drinking habit, because these are the kind of, dumb as it sounds, this is the kind of crap that keeps me awake at night. Other people sit there and think, like, what am I going to do with my life? I sit there and I go, like, you know, why did the Howells have all the luggage for a 3-hour tour?
It just
makes no sense. All right. Well, it could be worse. Speaking of having to stay awake at night, I could be Scooter Libby, who's going to be spending, I think, probably several years trying to stay awake every night.
Probably. It's possible.
Is he going to prison? Please tell me it's true.
Yes, it looks like he will go to prison. But, you know, of course, there'll be appeals. There'll be this kind of, you know, they'll try to get a new trial. But, you know, it really seems that this trial was very well run, and that the jury in this case was incredibly attentive. And the statement by one of the jurors who came out afterward, he made it very clear that they really were not influenced by anything on the outside, and that they were incredibly deliberate and really stuck to the narrow focus. And they were just good little perfect jurors. So it's going to be very hard, I think, for the defense to appeal this case. Who knows what they will present, but I think that it was is a very strong case and also a strong verdict. And I think the fact that he was convicted on four charges out of the five and that they found him not guilty of the fifth also shows that, you know, this wasn't a jury that was, you know, blind and just wanted to convict someone from Bush White House. They really did deliberate this case.
So at the risk of sounding like an ugly, out-of-touch American, so if you can very briefly boil down, because I think a lot of people, they hear all this, they hear like Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, Valerie Plame, obstruction, CIA, whatever. And if you can real quickly break down just sort of what he did and what he got convicted of.
You know, typical Washington, it's not the actual crime, it's the cover-up.
Right.
So basically, he's been convicted of lying about this CIA leak case. And what happened, of course, everybody knows, Joe Wilson was sent to Niger to try and find out if Saddam Hussein was trying to buy uranium. He comes back, he says, no, there's no evidence of it, but yet somehow that ended up in the president's speech. Well, then Joe Wilson comes out, criticizes that, saying that's not true at all. Shortly after that, news comes out that Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, is an operative of the CIA, not a known operative. She's been working undercover.
Right.
And so he says it's retribution. So, there's a special investigator who looks into it, call a grand jury. Scooter Libby is called because it seems the vice president's office and some White House offices are knew about this. It's not clear. Well, Scooter Libby, the jury has now found, lied to that grand jury about information, specifically about when he found out about. It's a very small thing. He didn't lie about who leaked it or if he leaked it. He lied about specific conversations, when he knew what. But the fact is that the special prosecutor in this case, I think, smelled something that smelled wrong, and that what he had evidence for was that Scooter Libby lied on several occasions to a grand jury.
So is this the end? Is it stop with him?
Yes, the special prosecutor in this case has said that he does not see any more charges coming from this case. Of course, there's a remote possibility that Scooter Libby's defense team may try to bring down his time by offering testimony that could relate to other possible charges, but it seems that Scooter Libby has been more or less loyal to protecting others against charges. He certainly, although they have said that the White House threw him under the bus a little bit at one point. So there is a possibility more charges would come if Scooter Libby had something, some kind of evidence that could propel those charges. But otherwise, the case is over.
All right. Two small pieces here. One, let's see, we have here, Rick, Germany is the name that the Roman Empire gave to Deutschland because he who wins gets to name everything. That does seem like the Romans, too, just to come in and go, and we're going to give you another name just because we're the Roman Empire. We can. So.
Okay.
He just decided that's what they do. Those guys had style. And secondly, I'm presuming, of course, by now that you have heard this cringe-inducing speech that Hillary Clinton gave in Kentucky yesterday. Or 2 days, Sunday, I guess.
I haven't heard Kentucky. I heard from Alabama, which was pretty high-pitched.
Well, now see, Tim, am I misidentifying this? Is this speech that we played yesterday from Kentucky? Is this the one where she is reading the poem? She is reading the lyrics to, I believe, a song, a gospel song.
Yeah, I thought that was in Selma, Alabama.
I may be wrong about this, then. We might be.
You know, these speeches, they use them on tour. It's really the same show, so might have given the same speech in Kentucky.
I just wanted to make sure you know, because whenever I get a sound clip, it is in some way horrifying.
You know, it's been a day, so play it again for me.
Let's see if you can.
I don't feel no way tired.
All right, okay. Well, Sarah's feeding the phone now. All right, here we go.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far from where I started from.
All right, that's all I can bear.
There are so many weird things about that bite, and I'm not commenting on Hillary's politics, how I feel about her as a politician or a leader, but just from the world of sound, there are a few weird things about that sound bite.
It's all kinds of weird. I mean,
that weird Forrest Gump feel, too. Like, she really went Forrest Gump on us, or at the beginning.
Well, my theory, and then I'll let you go here, my theory is just that, though. She has lived with Bill Clinton long enough, and Bill Clinton was a master of speaking to people the way that they themselves talk. And he would speak, and that's an old trick that they, you know, they sort of teach you in sales, is that, you know, you deduce in the first few seconds of a conversation how someone speaks, and then you talk to them the same way.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, though, lacks all of the style and panache that her husband has, and she thinks it's enough just to go out there and do, like, some weird Cracker Barrel accent, which doesn't really work. It just sounds silly.
Right.
So it's going to be an exciting next year and a half. I can't wait. All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day. I know it's busy. There's a we will talk to you in the very near future.
All right, high five.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Lisa Goddard.
Did she say high five?
She said high five.
I don't want your life. It's 5:03, and the best part about that sound bite is that as I'm doing it, it's getting, like, angrier. Like my delivery of the Varsity Blues line is getting angrier and just, like, more.
I cannot believe that 24 hours has passed and we still don't have a copy of I Don't Want Your Love.
Well, you know what nobody ever gave us was that love, language of love, which, you know, which is the Better Off Dead thing, which, again, as every time I repeated it, like, I made it louder and louder and more abrasive.
I know, but I think it's weirder that, you know, the Varsity Blues, that is the line from the movie.
And it's on FX, like, every day.
I know.
It's every day. All right, let's see. Speaking of Let's Go to Prison, Rick, is this true? That Let's Go to Prison movie with Dax Shepard, who's from Idiocracy, and the guy who played Job on Arrested Development, Let's Go to Prison is already out on DVD today. I don't even remember
that
being...
Oh, really?
When did they even come to the theater?
I don't think so.
I remember seeing...
What's the guy's name?
Dax Jordan.
He's the one who's in Employee of the Month.
Oh, really?
He is hilarious.
He's a funny guy.
Oh, man. He makes that movie. It's really good.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. I remember seeing the trailer for Let's Go to Prison at Snakes on a Plane. And then the movie just, like, never... It doesn't seem like it ever actually came out. Well, all right. There you go. Love. Language of love. It's 503-733-2970.
Why did you need music box music again?
Because I have a creepy story.
Okay, yeah, Scotty keeps sending me all these really creepy music box songs.
Well, do you have one?
I do.
If you have one, I'll read the story.
All right. All this right. One actually is pretty good. Good job, Scotty.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's test this. What is this?
It's called Ballet Suharto Ladapa. I don't know. It has an equally creepy video.
Is there another one? I'd like to find the creepiest bed possible before reading this song, or this story.
This is kind of freaking me out.
No, it's creepy. I just want to judge. I want to judge
well,
it against
the other. Well, this is the other one he gave me.
All right, let's listen to the other one, and then we'll use the creepiest of the two to read this story. This is creepy, too. I think I might go with this one just because of the nature of the story. You'll understand when I read it.
Okay, I'll start it up again.
All right. Should we do it now, or should I wait and do it into the break?
Well, it's getting later in the hour. I say let's do it now.
All right, okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you are... Oh, wait, before we do that, let me just...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Yes, George?
Hey, Rick, I was totally puzzled when I heard that Scooter Libby got convicted, because that's not supposed to happen in the corrupt Washington, D.C. we have now. So
I
racked my brains and I figured out what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
In exchange for acting as an ablative shield to deflect all the heat, he's going to get a presidential pardon as Bush leaves office. That's my theory.
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's corrupt. Everybody lies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Just wanted to cheer y'all.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Bye, George.
No, this is really what's going to cheer everybody up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are fairly warned. I give you now the creepiest story ever. Ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Bridgeport, Connecticut. How long is this? Do I have...
3 minutes.
Oh.
Well, I'll just go right into the creepy one then.
Oh, no. Yeah, this will be fine.
Okay.
Connecticut Bridgeport. A city man stabbed his 17-year-old wife multiple times and then handed the knife to his 2-year-old son, telling him, quote, "Now you stab mommy," police said Monday. Furman Rodriguez, 21, was charged with first-degree assault, first-degree reckless endangerment, first-degree unlawful restraint, and threatening. Police would not say whether the child obeyed his father and stabbed the mother. His wife, Keishla Rodriguez, was being treated at St. Vincent's Medical Center for stab wounds to her chest, face, arms, and legs. According to police, late Sunday night, the defendant and his wife got into an argument when he began accusing her of cheating on him. Police said Furman Rodriguez then picked up the kitchen knife and began slashing and stabbing his wife. At one point, he grabbed her around the throat and began roughly cutting off her hair. After the victim lay on the floor, bleeding from her many stab wounds, police said the defendant handed the knife to their young son and told him to stab mommy. Relatives are now taking care of the child. The victim was taken to the hospital by her father. Police say that after they arrested Rodriguez, He directed them to a trash can behind his house where they found a bloody knife, along with clumps of the victim's hair. There you go. There you go. There's the creepiest story ever. Did I lie? That's what I do. Trying to pick everybody up, make them feel good.
We're the station that speak.
Everybody at work can agree on. What?
Sometimes I wish you wouldn't talk.
That
was awful.
Did I lie?
That obviously means the two-year-old probably did stab his mother.
Yes, it does.
Oh. And my friend has a son who just turned 3.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just picturing him with a knife in his hand. Oh.
That's a whole lot of, like, the opening sequence of Halloween. Michael, I warned everybody. I said it was the creep. I can't tease the creepiest story ever, and then they just, you know, have it be anything less. The people have come to depend on us, Sarah. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. CNN radio correspondents Steve Kassenbaum, Jim Roop. We'll talk to Davey Nipples. We'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger. And more of your phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.